has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition. It's the August the 10th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite of Gunderson Capital Management. And the under was the winner. If you picked the under on the CPI report, you were right. We picked the under yesterday. And the market loves it. Oh man, the market loves this. The yield is dropping. Yields on the bond market, and that's sending the Nasdaq soaring after a bad day yesterday. It's up 282 today. That's a 2.3% move. The Nasdaq is at 12,774. The Dow is up 515, that's 1.6% at 33,289. The S&P 500 is up 69 to 4,192. Small caps are up 2%. The only red I'm seeing, oil is down $1.40 to 89.10. And gold is basically flat. Silver is basically flat. 8 basis point drop in the 10-year. It's down to 2.72. The yield curve is still severely inverted, however. And last but not least, with the risk-on appetite today, you've got Bitcoin up $952 per coin at $24,035. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, Best CPI Report Now show. It was better than expected. Barry, we picked the under yesterday that we would come in softer than expected, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, and if we could all quit eating, then it'd be even, you know, it'd be even better.
Well, I can cut back on unleaded gasoline and my gas tank, but you know. Yeah.
the food index is the, you know, kind of.
Was that it? Was that the culprit?
That's really the culprit in terms of what was up. I mean, the food index increased 10.9% over the last year, which is the largest 12-month increase since May of 1979.
Here so, we go again. You know we got to go back 40, 50 years when I was a teenager, you know, to see numbers like we're seeing.
Right.
They're biblical,
I mean,
right?
All of the other, all of the other numbers improved. Shelter was a little higher too, as you can imagine. But energy, of course, the big one being, gasoline index fell 7.7%. But really, it was just interesting, looking at the food. Really is the kind of now is the is the big culprit. So if you bought a dozen eggs lately, you kind of know why.
Yeah, you can turn around and sell them to your neighbor. You can flip eggs, make some money, or get some
bucks,
chickens.
Yeah, $5 for the for the normal eggs, right? Not even the all the fancy grass
organic,
cage
free range.
Yes.
Who cares when you scramble them? They all taste the same. Okay, now, I don't have a good feeling about this food thing. Okay, I just don't. I don't know why, but we're being warned by the UN of food shortages and food crisis and all this and that. And, cutting back on the fertilizer that we can use and, all the farmland. You got the farmers marching and rioting in Netherlands. You got the farmers upset up in the Canada. There's a lot of funny business going on there. So, anyways, I'm just letting you know how I feel about it. Don't get caught short. Okay, consumer prices unexpectedly flat. Well, flat means versus last month, okay? It didn't go up anymore. It was accelerating. But still, it comes in at, what was it, 8.6%?
Yeah, top line number was 8, let's see, I know for the month I think it was 0.3%.
8.5, there it is.
Yep.
Okay, and so 8.7 was the consensus. I would give all the credit really to gasoline. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to know that when you drive down the street in your everyday walk of life, you've seen gas prices drop. You know, I must pass four or five different gas stations on my way to the local grocery store or whatever, and you see it down, you know, quite a bit, probably as much as a dollar below where it was. So that's really what did it, okay? Now, is gasoline going to go back up? I don't know. We'll see. I also see that labor cost increased 10.8%. Is that what I saw?
I think that's what we touched on towards the latter half of yesterday. Yeah, unit labor cost went up 10.8%, and you had while at the same time productivity I think was down over 4%. So
well, okay, the Fed's going to say their plan is working. Their raising of interest rates is driving costs down. But for me, it's mostly the oil, or it's mostly the gasoline, which the Fed has very little to do with the oil supplies and gasoline. So we'll see. Germany CPI came in at 7.5%, which is in line with forecast. And here's what an authoritarian country does. China, only 2.2%, or 2.7%. You know, I think the premier of China just says, they say, what do you want the number to
be?
What
number to be?
Yeah, okay, 2.7 sounds good. It was the same when they were reporting the COVID. Oh, we only have two people in all of China with COVID.
Yeah.
We've tracked down two people, and they're both from America. That's, I don't know how China's inflation can be 2.7%, but that just shows you that you can't really believe the numbers coming out of these, out of China and whatnot. Yesterday we had an off day. The NASDAQ was down 150 yesterday. We've had two warnings in a row from the semiconductor companies. On Monday it was NVIDIA. Usually when NVIDIA pulls back, especially when the market has reversed trend, it's usually a buying opportunity. NVIDIA is up 2.3% today, but the chips are not celebrating as much as some of the other areas of the market. The energy stocks are not celebrating that much either. They're all down a little bit. And then we had a warning from Micron, which I've never really owned Micron. Micron was down yesterday, brought the NASDAQ down, and it's up only 1.4% today after Micron's warning. Micron consistently warns. I mean, that's a chip company that is very much commoditized.
They're on the lower end. Yeah, they're on the lower end in terms of, style of chip versus, like an NVIDIA or an AMD. There's a lot more. They got a lot more going on in their chips, if you will.
Yeah, and NVIDIA is pretty much tied to the consumer a lot, and Bitcoin I think is what's hurt NVIDIA here recently. But now you got Bitcoin starting to rebound. The gamers, I don't know. I mean, the gaming stocks haven't been doing that well. Okay, now let's see here: Germany, China, yesterday. Okay, the CHIPS Act, as soon as that thing is signed, okay, buy the rumor and then sell the news. But the chips are going to have the wind at their back. I'm kind of continue to look at this Global Foundries, which already has foundries in America, in New York. It's having a nice day today. It's up 4.1%, $32 billion company. Seems to me like they're going to benefit, and it seems like Intel would be a benefit, but that's such a lousy company right now. Terrible stock. It's awful. They're going to benefit from some of this money being spent to make chips in America. Okay, that's kind of the what we're trying to achieve with that. Okay, now here's an analyst weighing in on NVIDIA. They report they unlikely to see a V-shaped recovery with NVIDIA with weak consumer demand, which their chips are tied to. And then the other one, Citigroup. Ah, God bless Citigroup. They reiterate a buy on Micron. Go ahead. You know, I don't like it. Even after the forecast citing classic signs of a bottom. Okay, I'm going to look at this chart here for a minute.
Classic.
Well, okay.
Yeah,
you
it
know,
went down. That's one sign.
You could make an argument. It's been going sideways for the last 6 weeks. But, okay, so it's a bottom. It could go sideways for the next many months, which I think that's basically what it's going to do. I'm going to avoid Micron. Okay, when we come back, we've got some macro calls out there, a couple biotechs to talk about, and a lot going on in the solar sector. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, here's a bear case from Credit Suisse. We've always got to look at these different macro forecasts. You know, I make a macro forecast every week in my newsletter, and I pretty much that guides my investing. If I start to see earnings estimates dropping, which they've been going up now, remember, for the last since 2009, except for that COVID year, then that's a major warning to me. Okay, now Credit Suisse says we talked about this a little bit yesterday in our team meeting. The S&P needs to go down 35% over a 14-month period of time. It didn't do that. I mean, the S&P went down about 23, I want to say, and the NASDAQ did go down 34%. So they're saying that the S&P has another 1,000 points in a typical bear market, which they think we're in. Okay, this is everybody has an opinion on the market. And Credit Suisse, haven't found them to be the best at macro forecasting. CS, the symbol, they think that the market could get down to 3,200. Okay, I publish my target price for the market every single week. I think we've been pretty much right on for the last 12 years. It ain't always going to go up, however. There's going to come a time when we'll see an earnings recession in the S&P 500. Okay, let's check in on Verona. That was a big deal yesterday with that COPD drug. And Verona, I didn't see them do a secondary offering last night. I don't know what happened. The guy must be on vacation, the CEO or somebody. But Verona's having a nice day again today. It's up 7.3%. It did exactly what I said it would do. These hot stocks, they pull back. It got up to 15 yesterday, and then it plunged to 10. I think the pattern is, if you're a day trader, when you see one of these hot stocks with a new drug or whatever, you know, the morning time is when that thing just blasts off like a rocket ship, and then it starts to settle. So, you know, 15 down to 10, it lost 33%. The trick is, I don't know if you can, I've never done this. I don't know if you can get stock to short when they do that, if there's stock available, if everybody is onto this. And then they almost always do a secondary offering, which cools the stock off for a few days. Now, Verona didn't. So Verona is up today 7.3%. Okay, in the app, Verona's been, it's definitely been on my radar. I was not aware of the stock. It's number 396 now, and they have a very promising COPD drug. which could or could not be a very big deal. Okay, then there was another one yesterday, Mersana, MRSN, which had a huge day yesterday. It rose 36% on a collaboration agreement with Glaxo on an antibody drug conjugate for use against tumors. And so that one's on my watch list here. That one is up 3.9% on huge volume. But yesterday it was up about 35%, MRSN. Okay, we're going to have a big report after the close of the market tonight. I'm on the under on Disney. They just seem to disappoint a lot these days. But this is post-COVID, okay? The theme parks are rolling again. Disney actually has pretty good growth expected. Maybe the expectations are too high, but it's a member of the Dow. So keep your eyes on Disney. These days, everybody's looking at their streaming.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. It's almost like they're a Netflix. What's their subscriber growth? This, that, and that's pretty much kind of what it was. Kind of, I think, taking some of the. In the old reports, right, you're looking at, movies and media pieces, this, that, and the other, and now it's really, what's the streaming numbers? That's all they need.
Yeah,
to talk
and
about,
that's really a small part of their business, but it's probably right. The most profitable because it gives them all those titles that they have, and people paying that $7.99 a month coming in. But, okay, so we'll be watching Disney. Okay, now here's my weird story of the day. It may not be so weird, all right? Amazon is expanding their palm scanning technology to 65 more Whole Foods stores, okay? Being the biggest rollout by the company, customers can set up Amazon One by registering their palm print using a kiosk or at a point-of-sale station at participating stores. Well, okay, as a very devout Christian, we all know about the prophecy by John in Revelations that someday we can't buy or sell if we don't have the mark of the beast in the palm of our hand. So that's always scary when you read stuff like this.
Right.
Amazon is, they're a huge, they're the elephant in the room when it comes to, to a merchandise. There's been all these predictions over the years that someday, it would be either our iPhone or something, some kind of print in our hand. So, you can't buy. Nope, sorry. You owe back taxes or whatever. Okay, so I'm just letting you know that Amazon is moving in the... I never have trusted Bezos anyways. They're moving in that direction. Okay, now... Ford is hiking the price of their F-150 Lightning truck. Have you seen one on the road yet, Barry?
I have not, actually. I mean, the one thing I think I've seen a good bit of is the Ford Bronco, right?
But that's not electric.
I don't think it is.
No.
I think some of them. I think they're. I think they do have some hybrid ones. I thought they had some electric ones, but the ones I've seen, at least they have a tailpipe, so whatever that means.
They're hiking. I guess they're selling so well. I don't think they're for sale yet. I think you can only get a reservation. I see these commercials, on TV for these electric cars, the Cadillac and the Hummer and the Ford Lightning. You just get your name on a list. That's all. I can't drive a list to work. But they're hiking the price by 7 to 18%. But there's no inflation. The cheapest version of the truck will now start at $47,000. This is for an F-150 pickup. That's $7,000 higher than the sub-$40,000 that they started at, originally promoted by Ford executives. What are they blaming? Higher material cost and other factors. 7 to 18% hike. You get a Ford F-150 Lightning. It's a Lightning truck. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Here's a trend. Starbucks is going to start putting electric vehicle chargers powered by ChargePoint, CHPT, in several of their stores, kind of as a trial. But I can just see that where, you know, while it makes a total sense for a restaurant to have charging stations, because while your car is charging, you're in there eating dinner or whatever, having a snack. So that's, you know, ChargePoint is one of the major players. I own a little bit of the Blink. I do own ChargePoint, too, just a little bit in my own personal account. I feel like they're not quite ready for prime time yet. They're still futuristic, but, you know, the future is now, it would seem. And ChargePoint and Blink are a couple. I think ChargePoint's one of the main players. They're very big in California. CHPT. Starbucks, Volvo, and ChargePoint advance their EV charging partnership. Okay.
My biggest problem is pulling into the parking lot of a Starbucks. It's like you almost have to go through the drive-thru. Usually,
well, you know, I was thinking
across
too.
The street and walk towards it. That's
you know, like I was thinking too. Like a supermarket would be a natural place, any
yeah,
place where
certainly.
You're going to spend some time. But as it is now, I go down the aisle, okay, and the first several places are reserved for the handicap, which, okay, maybe sometimes the first 10 places. Then the next several aisles, next several are reserved for veterans, okay, veterans. South Carolina especially, South Carolina really reveres the veterans. And by the time I find a parking place, I'm like, you know, like 27 spaces. Now, if we're going to put in a charging station too, I'm going to have to park, a mile away from the market just to get some. Okay, here's another. Now, I want to talk. I had a guy yesterday. We added another solar stock to our portfolio. We don't own a lot. I would say most of them are in the emerging growth portfolio. And I had somebody on in the chat room on Seeking Alpha say, how many solar stocks do you own now? What percent of your overall holdings do the solar stocks represent? Well, you know, I don't have any kind of formula that says, well, okay, with this big bill passing, Manchin coming on board, blah, 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 we should have a 10% exposure to the solar stocks. You know, I use my Best Stocks Now app, and I look at the top-ranked stocks. And it just so happens that the leading sector in the market right now is the solar sector. And, you know, to be honest, there's really not that many solar stocks out there. You know, I think less than 20 out of 6,000 stock market. We don't own all 20. Maybe we own 4 or something like that. But here's another one that's showing up on my radar, and it just shows you that, you know, here's another thing, too. When these people are plowing money into the clean energy ETFs, they got to buy those few solar stocks that are out there, along with the wind stocks and maybe the hydrogen, the Plug Powers of the world. But Array Technology, which is ARRY, out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, this is about the lowest tech of the solar stocks, but it's a great performer. It's a highly ranked stock in the app right now. They make money. They make the ground mounting system. So when you go by these solar farms, this is just steel and pipes underneath them, right?
Yeah, they don't blow away.
Yeah, this is one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. So somebody is in. It's either the money going into these ETFs. Well, it's got to chase all the stocks in the sector. And this is in the solar sector. ARRY. It's ranked number 63 overall in the Best Stocks Now app. It's up 16.6% this year, their latest quarter that they reported here recently, their sales were up 116%, and their earnings were up 350%. So it's a can-slim momentum stock, but at the same time, they're expected to make 90 cents in earnings next year. The stock's trading at 21, so if I pull this thing up on the beststocksnowapp.com, it's got a forward PE would be, I don't have next year's earnings in there, I have this year's earnings estimates. The forward PE would be about 22 or so. The growth rate is expected to be 23% per year over the next 5 years. So I have a target price of 39, almost 40, and it's 21 right now. And it's got a lot of head of steam. Over the last 3 months, it's up 164%. So I'm going to mention that, ARRY, Array Technologies, steel and pipe. But they call it technology. I don't know. Some of them actually.
Tilt, they might tilt. You know,
yeah,
they,
some
they
of them rotate. To, yeah. You know. To
follow
keep,
the sun. Get,
exactly.
Get a better.
Like a sunflower.
Yeah, it'll
in
pitch.
The field.
Yeah, they'll pitch it. You know, as the sun. Obviously, it's going to flatten out as the the sun gets in very top of the around noon or so. But I think they do some tilting and other things. But yeah, I mean, you're really it's that picks and shovels approach to alternative energy.
I have a large solar panel that's portable. It folds up, and I can carry it. And it charges a solar generator. Guess who moves it throughout the day? You know, in the morning, I got to have it facing towards the east.
Yeah, you are.
I'm the guy, okay? And then I go up there about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I start facing it to the south. And then late in the day, I've got to face it to the west. Otherwise, I'm telling you, that solar's got to be almost directly pointed at the sun. And, you know, the neat part of the generator is it tells me what kind of input I'm getting on the digital display. So if I move it a little bit, all of a sudden it goes way up.
The efficiency
up.
Will go up.
Wow,
yeah. That's neat. Yeah.
It's kind of neat. All right. Now, on a cloudy day, I don't care which way you point it. There's the drawback. One of the drawbacks.
Hold it up closer.
Yeah,
further up.
Or shine a light on it or something. Okay, so Canadian Solar, here's another big problem we have. Canadian Solar unveils plans Wednesday to build a solar manufacturing industrial park in China's Qinghai province with the capacity of 50,000 tons of high purity polysilicon. Okay, that's another necessary thing. Silicon, it's sand. It's sand, but it's high-quality purified sand, which is also used in semiconductors. It's really kind of a miracle, all of the uses we have for silicon, especially, I mean, the Silicon Valley, right? But to go to China, I mean, this is Justin Trudeau. Why are you going to China to build your plant? You really want to be dependent? Now, there are some, the only other maker out of outside of China is Maxen, M-A-X-N, which is in Singapore, and that's out of China's reach. But China is just dominating the manufacturer of these, I'm sure my solar panels that I have to move, and it's hard to stand out up on the roof all day, too. But anyways, as I rotate it, I'm sure that thing's made in China. And unfortunately, a lot of them are made by Uyghur Muslim slave labor.
Yeah, and
so,
the panels, I mean, and that's something that's been, you know, very commoditized, talking about, you know, just the actual, the actual panel itself. And so a lot of that manufacturing, right, has gone, has gone over there. I think we used to have some here. Years ago, and essentially, I think it was early 2010s.
Couldn't compete.
Early 2010s, I think China you know, basically flooded the kind of what they did with steel at one point, but they basically flooded the market with cheap panels, and you know that pretty much destroyed the industry elsewhere.
Well, we have this big bill passing to make chips here in America. It seems to me like we got to address the solar panel issue that China dominates. Okay, when we come back, I got a couple of new ones here to put you on to. And then we'll see the best performers here today, see what's popping. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I just responded to President Biden's tweet, Barry. It was retweeted by Nancy Sinatra because it covers what we just talked about. He tweeted out this morning, did you know one-third of all the chips in the world use the polysilicon made in the great town of Hemlock, Michigan? And by the way, we have a lot of listeners in Michigan. Yesterday we talked about in our team meeting, we're going to go to Michigan and do a workshop. We're talking about March when the tundra thaws, you know, out. But probably March of next year, early March. And then we're going to get to Minnesota and Sarasota. We're going to try to get down there in early November, sometime after the election, okay? So, he says, imagine if we had one more of those kinds of factories across the country. The CHIPS and Science Law will make that a reality, which I'm all for. And I just responded, why don't we use that polysilicon to build our own solar panels? We are dependent on China. Canada is building a giant polysilicon plant in China. Why? That's my answer. Maybe Nancy Sinatra. These boots were made for walking. We'll have something to say. I don't know why, you know, all. It seems to me like there's a much higher priority for solar right now than chips, even though the chip shortage has caused a lot of problems. But if you're so proud of your polysilicon production, I didn't know that it came, a third of it came from Michigan for all the chips in the world. Why in the world aren't we figuring out how to make those panels here in... put Elon Musk on the task.
Yeah, he'll get it fixed.
He'll figure it out.
Well, and I forget what agency it was. It was either the EIA or you know, some... I thought it was an energy agency.
I hope it's not the EPA.
Right, yeah, it wasn't them, but it had to do with, you know, remember they warned, they were, you know, it was like some kind of warning that, you know, 90-something percent, right, of... you know, of alternative energy, right, is you know, will be, you know, made in or
China.
Tied to China in some form or fashion. So, you know,
makes
it's
no sense.
Certainly something to go ahead and, you know, go ahead and start now.
Okay, anything with the word renewable in it is in play these days. And I saw a SPAC this morning that I'd never heard of before. And it is, the symbol is Opal, O-P-A-L. And I saw, wow, look at that thing. That's a nice, it showed up in my, I think in my screens of the app. They make and distribute renewable natural gas. Okay, now I don't know, how do you renew, how do you capture it somehow for the heavy-duty truck market worldwide? All right, so Opal Fuels is O-P-A-L. You can look at a chart of it. It was $6 about 4 weeks ago. Now it's $11. I put these on my watch list, okay, in my big spreadsheet that I have with all 6,100 stocks in it. I mark those stocks, and they start getting a look from me on a daily basis, something to follow there and watch. Interesting. Okay, now. The stocks here that I would, the big winner of the day, one of them is this Array, A-R-R-Y, because they reported earnings, and they reported sales that were just phenomenal. Now, Barry, I've been watching this stock, and I thought, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, they're just making like a cradle or holding pipes and in the ground. I'm sure they got to put some men around them and whatnot to hold these solar panels. Maybe they're adjustable. I don't know. But I thought, this is just a low level. I mean, you could probably look into their margins. I mean, now you've got the income statement to look at. I would think it would be a pretty thin margin business, but it's one of the hottest stocks in the market today. It's up 18%, and it's very highly ranked in the Best Stocks Now app. Now, I'm going to bring up, what do you think the number one ranked stock is in the Best Stocks Now app today?
My guess is it's got to be wrapped around alternative energy would be my guess.
Okay, yeah, well, think
Enphase maybe?
Hydrogen.
Okay.
And you know what? It's been too volatile. It's too out there on the future. I have owned it a few times. I own a little bit. And it's been a terrible performer. It's been all over the place, but it's taken off. Plug
Power.
Power.
Yeah.
The symbol is plug. And, of course, hydrogen is very controversial. That's your fuel cell technology.
It can be pretty volatile.
Oh, Lord. I mean, it's gone from $1 to 75 back to 12, and now it's at 28. It's very
volatile like hydrogen.
Yes, and you've got, they made the hydrogen bomb. Okay,
right.
Then you're going to be carrying this around in your car. But Elon Musk called it fuel cells. You know, he did a lot of research on his own because that was the direction the automobile industry was going in there. Ford was spending a lot of money on a fuel cell plant. And that stock, FCEL, it never really went anywhere. They couldn't get enough out of it to run a car and whatnot. But I guess there are other uses. So Plug Power is number one ranked, and the stock is up 15.4% today. Then the last one I'll mention is our energy drink stock. It's pulled back a little. It's up 8.9%. It was the number one ranked stock for a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, a couple months ago. And we actually own that in our emerging growth portfolio because it makes money. All right. Well, there you go. Interesting day in the market. I can't wait to dig in here and look at a bunch of charts today. If you'd like to get the newsletter this weekend with our macro forecast, which has been right for 13 years in a row, you can go to GundersonCapital.com to see what we're buying or selling. Those portfolios are there also. Or you can set up an appointment with us. We've had a lot of folks talking to us. And to make an appointment, virtual firm, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. All right. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.